Tuesday's key match in the UEFA Champions League group stage saw a former Arsenal winger help Bayern blitz Spurs.
It's Gnabry who's already got a hat-trick. Gnabry has a go! It's better than a hat-trick now! It's four for Serge Gnabry! It's seven for Bayern! An incredible night! And it's Tottenham 2, Bayern 7 at the new Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
And there was drama in the Spanish capital as well, where Club Brugge went 2-0 up in the Bernabeu, but couldn't quite hold on.
Oh, header brilliant. Rafael Varane was trying to get there, but Casemiro it was, who comes across the front of the defender and manages just to sneak one in beyond Mignolet. And Real Madrid have saved their skins at home. It's Real Madrid 2, it's Club Brugge 2.
In Italy, Leverkusen couldn't deny Juventus and their main man.
Janic through towards Ronaldo, still going, this time he finishes. He will not be denied. You cannot keep him off the score sheet, out of the headlines or the spotlight.
Wins two for Shakhtar, Paris Saint-Germain, Sevena Zvezda, Manchester City and Atletico. We'll bring you all the analysis and key reaction to all of the night's matches. So stay with us right here on Matchday Live and the official UEFA Champions League podcast. Welcome to the show. I'm Chris Parrott, and alongside me, the European football expert, Kevin Hatchard. 28 goals, a quarter of them, scored by Bayern in London against last season's runners-up. We're talking just after full-time, and we're all still a bit stunned by that performance and result from Bayern.
Absolutely, and it's far and away the most ruthless performance we've seen from Bayern, I think, since Niko Kovac took charge at the start of last season, because almost every mistake that Spurs made in that second half was ruthlessly punished with a goal. Serge Gnabry will take the headlines, and quite rightly so, because he was razor sharp in front of goal. But I think Robert Lewandowski deserves huge credit as well, because it was his goal on the stroke of half-time that put Bayern 2-1 up, that really gave them the platform upon which to build. And they did that so very well. Credit to Kovac for an attacking team selection. And Spurs just melted away in that second period. It was truly extraordinary.
The first time that Tottenham have conceded seven goals in a home game in any competition. Extraordinary. It really was a remarkable night. Let me run you through all of Tuesday's match day two results. In Group A, Real Madrid 2, Club Brugge 2, Galatasaray 0, Paris Saint-Germain 1. Group B, as we've been talking about, Tottenham 2, Bayern 7, and Sevena Zvezda 3, Olympiakos 1. Group C, Manchester City 2, Dinamo Zagreb 0, Atalanta 1, Shakhtar Donetsk 2, and in Group D, Lokomotiv Moskva 0, Atletico 2, Juventus 3, Leverkusen 0. Do join us on Wednesday night from 1800 CEST. Two more full commentaries, Slavia Praha against Dortmund and Barcelona Inter. What a night that will be at Camp Nou. Don't forget as well to download the next episode of the official UEFA Champions League podcast for analysis of Wednesday's matches. We're going to concentrate on Tuesday's action right here, though. And we're going to start a review of an extraordinary night with the Group B encounter in London, where last season's beaten finalist Tottenham took on Bayern. Adam Summerton describes the action.
Given away cheaply here, and it's Son in the box. Chance to hit it, and he did, and he scored. Heung-min Son makes it 1-0. Comes down here to Kimmich, who hits it right-footed and scores. Oh, what a brilliant goal. It's Tottenham 1, Bayern 1. Lewandowski on the turn, brilliant goal. Oh, that's vintage Lewandowski. It is Tottenham 1, Bayern 2. Gnabry now bursting to the edge of the box, into the area he goes, onto his right foot, cuts across the area and scores a fantastic goal. And it's Tottenham 1, Bayern 3. Tolisso's Rob wins of possession, and he's got a pick of his options. Gnabry's one of them, and he scored again! Tottenham 1, Bayern 4. Ball punched clear by Manuel Neuer, who was unchallenged. Oh, the referee's given a penalty here. Tottenham with a chance to get one back. Kane stood just to the left of the ball. Now he steps up, hits it right-footed. Neuer gets the right way, but the pace of the ball meant he couldn't keep it out. And Tottenham have one back. Tottenham 2, Bayern 4. He's running through on goal here. He's on a hat-trick. He's got a hat-trick. Serge Gnabry. Tottenham 2, Bayern 5. Coutinho on the edge of the box, works it to Lewandowski, who just places it home. And this is getting ridiculous now. That was so easy for Bayern. Gnabry has a go. It's better than a hat-trick now. It's 4 for Serge Gnabry. It's 7 for Bayern.
Well, he hadn't scored a Champions League goal before his trip to Tottenham. But Serge Gnabry has 4, the match ball, after a remarkable performance. So Adam joins us now. Tale of the tape, first of all, 9 goals and more incident than you get in some seasons, in all truth.
Yeah, and I suppose from a Bayern perspective, you'd look at it and you think, not only have they won that game 7-2 away from home, inflicted Tottenham's heaviest ever home defeat, but they came from behind to do it as well. Because Tottenham took the lead on 12 minutes through Son, his 13th UEFA Champions League goal. Then Kimmich equalised 3 minutes later with a lovely finish from just outside the area. Lewandowski, that was the crucial goal for me. Brilliant vintage Lewandowski finish from just outside the area, right at the end of the first half. Then Gnabry gets 2 in as many minutes at the start of the second half. Kane gets one back from the penalty spot just after an hour, and then Gnabry, Lewandowski and Gnabry again, and it ends up 7-2. And he didn't just get a hat-trick, Gnabry, he got a poker. That's what you call 4 goals, a poker.
Do you?
Yes. So they're very rare, but yeah, he got a poker.
I did not know that. I think if you get 4 strikes in a row in 10-pin bowling, it's a turkey, but...
I've never done that.
Nor have I, unless you use one of those helpful, you know, little steppy ramps. But anyway,
I've still never done it, even with that.
Less of that, more of football. We'll start with Bayern, actually. We have to. Came into this game with question marks, despite the fact that top in the Bundesliga again. Did they answer some of those? How are they going to play without Ribery and Robben this season, etc.? Is Niko Kovac up to coaching at the highest level in the Champions League? Well, and they've just scored 7 away from home.
It's a huge boost for Kovac, because a lot of the criticism around him has been, can he produce good attacking performances at this level? Because I think there was a fair degree of dismay at how defensive they were against Liverpool over 2 legs in the knockout phase last season. And just the general feeling has been that he can't quite find these attacking solutions. But Gnabry has given him another option. You've got Lewandowski, who scores in almost every game, we know that. But in Gnabry, you've got a guy who was willing to leave Arsenal, and that was a big decision for him at the time. He went to Werder Bremen, he scored goals and he made goals. Bayern saw enough in him to sign him and then loan him to Hoffenheim, and I think that's the key, because he had a season working with Julian Nagelsmann who made him more confident, who totally changed the way that he approaches things in terms of his positioning and his finishing. And this is a guy in Gnabry that is willing to work away from the pitch. He trains hard. He's changed his diet. He has a vegan diet now that I believe has really, really helped him. And he is now absolutely at the peak of his powers. And I actually think he's just going to develop and develop and develop.
The way you talked about him then, immediately in my brain, I just thought Raheem Sterling's improvement and Manchester City under Pep Guardiola. We always knew he was talented, but would often miss chances and is now a ruthless finisher. And Gnabry tonight didn't actually have many opportunities apart from his 4, and he scored all 4 of them. Would that be a fair comparison in terms of a player improvement?
Yeah, I think so. And I think he now feels he belongs. Uli Hoeneß, the president of Bayern, said last season that Gnabry's form was the most positive surprise of the season. He was player of the season for Bayern last season. And I think now, instead of being just an up-and-coming player, he's become an indispensable player, not just for Bayern, but for Germany as well. He's done some great things for Germany. He's got a brilliant goal against the Netherlands, I think in the Nations League. And Jogi Löw says he is one of the first names I think of when I'm thinking of the team. So this is a rising star, but he deserves to be where he is, absolutely.
4 for Gnabry, 2 for Robert Lewandowski, and we can hear from him now.
Maybe the first 20 minutes we didn't play well, but we know that we have to play forward, we have to push forward, and the second half, I think so, we did amazing 45 minutes with the so many goals. That was amazing evening for us, and now Yeah, we didn't know exactly how we did that, but we were very, very happy.
That's surprising, even Robert Lewandowski's voice. Adam, Tottenham, where do they go from here? There's been question marks about them all season, really, for the Champions League finalists of only 4 or 5 months ago. They are, we have to say, they are only 2 points off second spot in this section, because we'll get onto the other game in a moment. But this feels like a very, well, maybe a silly thing to say, but a very damaging defeat.
Pochettino, he's done an unbelievable job there. But for me, right now, Tottenham just feel like a team that don't know quite where they're going. And I think that when I say that, I mean on the pitch and off the pitch as well, because I keep talking about the contract issues. And I think when you have so many players who are approaching the end of their contract or within the final 2 years of the contract, I think that creates uncertainty. There'll be some difficult conversations. And look, I'm going to repeat that stat. Tottenham fans won't like me saying this, but I think it's such an astonishing stat, I should say it again. Tottenham Hotspur have now lost 24 matches since the start of last season, and they've lost 4 this season already.
Extraordinary. One final stat. It's not a stat off, but this one is good as well to finish our talk on this game. Serge Gnabry became the first player ever to score 4 goals in the second half of a Champions League goal. So congratulations to him. Elsewhere in this section, Group B, Kevin Hatchard, big, big win for Savena Zvezda against Olympiakos, having been beaten by Bayern on match day one.
Yeah, and it was a really intriguing game, actually. It finished 3-1 to Savena Zvezda, but Olympiakos had taken the lead, and they deserved the lead in the first half. Ruben Semedo from a set piece. It was a curling ball to the far post, and he squeezed it in at that far post. They'd had other chances to take the lead before then, but the key really was the sending off of Yacine Benzia for Olympiakos for a clumsy challenge, which brought him his second yellow card. And after that, they rather collapsed, to be honest, and it was Miloš Vulić who got the equaliser. It was only half cleared the ball, and then he rammed home his first ever Champions League goal. And then a couple of set plays, a towering header in 87 minutes from Nemanja Milunović, and then Richmond Boachi, who'd come on as a substitute, he headed home to make it 3-1. So given that they were outplayed for much of the first half and against a team that's barely conceded any goals this season, that's a terrific result for Savena Zvezda.
The power of the Maracanã in Belgrade once more. Adam, you got some reaction from this match?
Yeah, the home side's midfielder Jose Alberto Canas has said, "We were good in the first half, we held onto the ball, but we lacked penetration. In the second half, we changed, went higher up the pitch, and it was difficult for Olympiakos to defend. After the dismissal, we played very much better and managed to score the goals." And the Olympiakos defender, Vasilis Todosidis, has said, "In the second half, we played more than 30 minutes with numerical inferiority. I don't want to make excuses, but this is an important factor when playing away. Based on our performance in the first hour, we didn't deserve to lose, but the dismissal conditioned the match."
He was back and as captain this evening. Okay, Group B looks like this, a third of the way through now. Bayern top, 6 points from a possible 6. Savena Zvezda second with 3. Olympiakos and Spurs with 1 apiece. But Spurs' goal difference, of course, has taken a right whack after that 7-2 defeat to Bayern. Match day 3, Tuesday the 22nd of October. Olympiakos against Bayern. And how big is this game? Tottenham against Savena Zvezda. To Group D now, where Juventus hosted Leverkusen in Turin. This one watched by Dan Roebuck.
Higuain, the header from Jonathan Tarr, it falls for Higuain! What a strike! Opportunist effort, really. Higuain thunders the ball into the bottom corner, and Juventus have the advantage in the 17th minute. Ronaldo against Weiser. He's beating once, he's looking for Higuain again inside the penalty area. Can he pull it back? Ronaldo misses his kick, but Bernardeschi doesn't! And Juventus have got a second, and it's fully deserved. It's Juventus 2 by Leverkusen 0. Janic through towards Ronaldo, still going! This time he finishes! He will not be denied. You cannot keep him off the score sheet, out of the headlines or the spotlight. And Ronaldo on hand to make it Juventus 3 by Leverkusen 0.
It took until the 89th minute, but 16 years on from his group stage debut, Cristiano Ronaldo, of course, as you heard there from Dan, did get on the score sheet. And how did Juve look, of course, that they were pegged back from 2-0 up on match day one against Atletico? I think the fans have been worried they look a bit clunky in the final third under Maurizio Sarri, but to score three and concede none, it's pretty much the perfect evening, isn't it?
It is. I think that criticism is fair because you could see it in the first half, even though there were a goal to the good after 45 minutes. Look, Juventus aren't as relentless as Liverpool. They're not as slick as Manchester City, but they haven't got the defensive frailties of Real Madrid. They might not score as many as Bayern Munich might do in this competition. Are they relying on Ronaldo as Barcelona are on Messi? In the second half, he came to the party, but he can't do it for 90 minutes these days. But they have got other options. I was pleased for Gonzalo Higuain because he hasn't scored a UEFA Champions League goal for a while. Obviously, he played in the Europa League for Milan last season before moving on to Chelsea on loan. But back on the biggest stage, I thought he was probably Juventus' best player. And he spoke after the game and said it was a very good performance. We played with determination. You need for this kind of game. I'm happy for the goal and the performance. The standing ovation from the fans was great. It's good when the fans recognise the work that you do. The victory puts us closer to qualification, even if we know that we still have plenty of work to do. And they did work hard. They changed it at half time. They were much more intense. They played with more pace. Ronaldo got on the ball a little bit more. Pjanic was certainly the orchestrator from that deep-lying midfield position. And Bayer Leverkusen, although they had possession in the first half, they were unable to create that many clear opportunities. Paulinho and came close-ish in the second half, but in truth this was pretty comfortable for Juventus.
Yeah, Dan, you mentioned the possession there that Leverkusen had. One of the running themes that there's been under Peter Boss at Leverkusen is that have been games, especially against better opposition, where they've had possession but without penetration, and presumably that was the issue again, and they couldn't get Kai Havertz really into the game.
No, they couldn't get Kai Havertz into the game, and it's a disappointment really because he is a player that is coveted amongst the big European clubs at the moment. And just talking of that possession, Jonathan Tah has come out after the game and said, we've played with bravery, but we were just lacking a bit of composure at this level, and they punish every single mistake. He also suggested that they played their own game. They tried to be compact and composed. We threw everything into tonight, but it didn't come off. And I guess what he means is that they played the same way as they play in the Bundesliga, but as you've just alluded to there, they haven't got the result, and they've been a little inconsistent in the German top flight this season. Yes, they've won their last two after the disappointment of that Lokomotiv Moskva defeat in the UEFA Champions League on match day one, but they've got to try and convert all this possession into more meaningful attacks and key opportunities in front of goal. They are just lacking maybe that cutting edge at the moment, and in the end Juventus did have more of the ball in the second half anyway, and Leverkusen, I think they're going to struggle to qualify. It was always going to be very difficult with Atletico Madrid in the same group with Juventus, but even now maybe a spot in the UEFA Europa League might be beyond them, and they get that head-to-head against Atleti on match days 3 and 4 in the UEFA Champions League. It's going to be tough for them, but they are learning all the while, I feel.
Yeah, they're on nil points still. The other match in Group D finished Lokomotiv Moskva 0, Atletico 2. Diego Costa missed a gilt-edged chance in the first half in Moscow, but João Félix, 3 minutes into the second period, finished after his first effort was saved by Guilherme, and then Thomas Partey slid home after good work from Costa to make it 2 just before the hour mark. João Félix's goal meant he became Atleti's youngest ever goal scorer in the competition, overtaking Sergio Aguero, who isn't a bad centre-forward. We'll speak about him in a moment, Kevin Hatchard, but a big moment, big night for João Félix and Atletico, like Juve, onto 4 points in a very, very good position.
Well, I think João Félix scoring at this level just underlines the progress he's making, underlines the quality that he has. I don't think he's overhyped at all. I think he's absolutely one of the most exciting young players in world football, I would say. I'm pleased for Thomas Partey as well, because he was absolutely sensational in the Madrid derby at the weekend against Real. His stats show that. Not just an attacking threat, but broke up play brilliantly in midfield. So that's a really good result for Atletico, because Lokomotiv no pushovers. We saw that at the Bay Arena as they managed to beat Bayer Leverkusen, so that's a terrific result.
Certainly is. Group D looks like this. Atleti and Juve lead the way on 4 points. Lokomotiv on 3, Leverkusen on 0. Match day 3, Juve host Lokomotiv. Leverkusen go to Atletico. To Group A now in Spain, where Real Madrid face Club Brugge. This one watched by John Bradley.
And it slid forward and in behind, and the flag has stayed down, and they're in here. What an opportunity! It's a miscue, but it's in, and the flag is up, and it's not going to count. And the referee, Georgi Karapkov, waits for the decision of Massimiliano Irati, and he says goal! Club Brugge lead in the Bernabeu. Inside the centre circle is Modric, and he's given it away, and Bonaventura has a clear run on goal. He's fallen over the ball. He's put it in the back of the net. Real Madrid 0, Club Brugge 2. Towards Benzema, Ramos is there, and Ramos scores. And Real Madrid have halved the deficit. It's a captain's goal, and it's a crucial time.
Really good challenge that's made. Or was it a good challenge? The referee's decided.
It's a red card. Ruud Vormer has been sent off.
Here comes the free kick, taken by Kroos.
Oh, header, brilliant. Casemiro it was, and Real Madrid have saved their skins at home. It's Real Madrid 2, it's Club Brugge 2.
Well, it was almost an almighty shot. Club Brugge, who had a chance as well when they were 2-0 up, Bonaventura was very well denied by Alphonse Areola, who came on for Thibaut Courtois. And a point for Real Madrid in the end. Probably what they would have taken at the break, Kevin Hatchard. But having lost on match day one, it really has not been the start to the Champions League that Zinedine Zidane would have hoped for.
No, but it isn't. And I think what's important with Real is trying to restore that sense of invincibility at home. We saw them shredded by Ajax in the knockout phase last season. People forget that Real Madrid won that first leg
in
Amsterdam and totally collapsed at home. And
also lost to CSKA Moskva in the group stage last season at home.
And I think what we're seeing now is even seems like Club Brugge, who, with great respect to them, have admitted themselves that they're battling for third spot in the group, or they felt they were going into the group stage. If they can come and play in the way that they have, the big teams will certainly do it. And we saw the way that Real was second best in Paris, comfortably beaten in that game, holes opening up all over the field. And even though Real are top of La Liga right now, have they been convincing? No, not really. And this is still the core of the team that won the Champions League time after time after time. Even though they've spent a lot of money and added new players, we're not really seeing those players being integrated into that side. So Zidane has a lot of questions to answer right now, and we didn't get any answers from this game.
Bonaventure Dennis, who's only 21, loved this. We wondered in commentary, did he do a Ronaldo celebration? Yes, he did. He says, yes, I did. I've been a Cristiano fan forever, and I was very upset when he left Real Madrid. So I decided if I scored in the Bernabeu tonight, that's what I'd do. He honestly almost got a hat-trick, which would have been amazing. But Real Madrid 2, Club Brugge 2, the other result in that section. Hard-fought game in Istanbul. Galatasaray 0, Paris Saint-Germain 1. Mauro Icardi opening his account for the French champions, and they are sitting very pretty on top of the section in Group A. Paris with 6 points, Club Brugge with 2 points, Galatasaray and Real Madrid with 1 point apiece. Match day 3, Club Brugge host Paris Saint-Germain and Galatasaray against Real Madrid. A very interesting section now behind Paris. To Group C, finally, Manchester City beating Dinamo Zagreb by 2-0. But this one was not easy for Pep Guardiola's side at all. Kevin De Bruyne didn't play because of injury. He rested Raheem Sterling. He had to bring Sterling on. He scored after 66 minutes. And then Phil Foden in the 95th minute wrapped it up, Kevin. But we're used to seeing City blow teams away at home. Fair play to Dinamo Zagreb, put up a real fight.
Yeah, and I think it shows the strides that Dinamo Zagreb have made, because you look at them in the UEFA Europa League last season, they won all six of their group games. They were squeezed out of the knockout phase by a very good Benfica side. We saw how brilliant they were in the first match day when they blew Atalanta away. But I do want to underline the progress that Riyad Mahrez has made as a Manchester City player. He was sensational at Everton at the weekend in the English Premier League, and he made the goal for Sterling. And there's a player that, when he arrived at the club, people thought, is he going to be an automatic starter? Is he just a squad player?
Yep.
He was so instrumental in Leicester City's shock Premier League title win. Shock doesn't really do it justice, to be honest. But he was amazing in that. But what he's showing is he belongs in this company. He belongs in the Champions League. So, you know, fair play to him. An excellent performance and a vital assist for that goal.
Let's hear from Raheem Sterling now.
We've seen him play with the clips the manager showed. We knew they would be competitive. They played five at the back, which was really difficult to break them down at times. But, you know, at our stadium, you know, if we kept being patient, we'll get a chance. And, you know, a few didn't go in, but, you know, luckily we took our first chance and then got the second.
He also said post-match he'd like Phil Foden to play alongside him in the England national team. So good luck, Gareth Southgate, picking your next squad. So Manchester City winners elsewhere in the section. Shakhtar came from behind to beat Atalanta with a last-gasp goal from Manar Solomon, who came off the bench. So City looking pretty at the top of Group C with 6 points. Shakhtar and Dinamo Zagreb on 3. Atalanta, the group stage debutants, down on 0 points. Next up, City, Atalanta, Shakhtar, Dinamo. But we'll end with a look back again at Tottenham Hotspur's defeat against Bayern, joined again by Kev and Adam. Final word on this. Can I get your Bayern man of the match? Oh, well, it's going to be Serge Gnabry, isn't it? Did anyone else really stand out for Bayern?
Yes. Manuel Neuer did, for an exceptionally important save in the first half when it was 1-1 from Ndombele, and also made a critical save from Eriksen. So I'm going to say Neuer.
I think Coutinho's making a difference at Bayern, and I think Tolisso played very well tonight as well.
What an evening it was for Bayern. They hit 7, would you believe? And in our other featured late game, Juve beat Leverkusen 3-0. Join us on Wednesday night. We've got commentary of Slavia Praha against Dortmund and Barcelona against Inter. What an evening. But for now, after a terrific Tuesday, particularly for Bayern, from myself, Chris Parrott, and all of the UEFA Champions League Match Day Live team, it is a very, very good night.
Here comes the free kick, taken by Kroos. Oh, header, brilliant! Casemiro it was, and Real Madrid have saved their skins at home. It's Real Madrid 2, it's Club Brugge 2.
Through towards Ronaldo, still going! This time he finishes! You cannot keep him off the score sheet, out of the headlines or the spotlight. Juventus 3, Bayer Leverkusen 0.
Gnabry has a go! It's better than a hat-trick now! It's 4 for Serge Gnabry! It's 7 for Bayern.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.